Every time when we talk about prayers, we need to put down all the traditions. We have to understand that prayer is related to the Holy Spirit. And God works in our hearts. Our Lord Jesus, He is beyond our expectation, what He has said, and the enlightenment He has given people. This surely went through prayers. And so we know that Jesus is someone who prays. So how is evangelism related to prayer? Is prayers related to evangelism? Of course, if we quickly connect this, we know that when we pray, God works. Today's message, in fact, I originally wanted to talk about prayers and scheduled prayers. I want to see some connection between the two. But I realize it's not so easy to link. We know that God's heart is to save everyone. But the ultimate purpose in saving His people is that God Himself will get glory, Himself. So whether our church, whether our prayers, even us worshipping together, this is also a form of prayer. We worship not for other reason. Yes, we do worship for our own sake, but ultimately we have worship service to give God the glory, and so that God can be exalted in our hearts. And second, then we need to think, who are the people whom God loves? Are they the unreached people? The non-believers? In fact, God loves His own people. So of course, God loves His children. So when we come to the church, first of all, we need to be focused on God. And second, we need to be concerned about God's concern, who are His children. And of course, next, we should be concerned about God's unreached people, because God wanted to build His kingdom. And so we say, what is the connection between prayer and evangelism? So prayer is for the purpose of what? Although God is focused on His kingdom and Himself, but evangelism is not the focus of our prayers and our worship service. If we do not define this carefully, we will assume it easily. And secondly, we will receive a lot of accusations because sometimes we have no heart to evangelize, and we find evangelism so hard for us to do. And so your relationship with God is drifted. But first of all, in prayers, what God wants to manifest is God wants to be at peace and in harmony with us, because God loves us. So God wants us to first experience Him. So prayers is to help us to have a focused heart before God so that we can live in Christ. It's not for God first, but it's to receive God first. So when we say we center on prayers, that is not to center on ministries, but to center on prayers and on God. Of course, eventually when we pray, we want to fulfill God's kingdom, but that is because we are touched by gratitude in our hearts. And because you have restored the relationship with God, and so all the more, you intentionally want to understand that God desires that you participate in His glory, so that you be God's instrument, such that even if you face tribulations, you are also willing to live for God and live on. So you need to first understand prayer, our relationship with God. So what we say, we center on the church meetings and on church, on cell group and on fellowship. The meaning of this is because this is a proclamation. As we live our faith living, even if we are busy, even if we fail a little bit, but we need to have priorities right. Now, if we struggle in this area, God will reveal to us His love, and God will reveal in our life. We not only have struggles in these areas, but God also permits these struggles because God wants us to come before Him, to live thoroughly before Him. So when we talk about prayers, especially in December, we just had our children camp, and we have to pray for the follow-up work among the children. And we heard that the children are all very happy after going home. And next week, we have Christmas service. And eventually, we also have the Young People's Conference. So in all these three areas, we need to pray a lot. Because there could be a lot of strangers or people who do not want to come to church, or they come to church once or twice. Many people urge them to come to church. They are unwilling, but eventually they come to take a look. Of course, during church meetings, there will be people whom God wanted to win over. But among all this, we first have to know that we first have to know our relationship with God and our prayer life before God. We are busy, but yet, does it mean that we don't need to be so busy and then we can pray? It's not that. We need both. We need both. If you are busy, that means you are sustained by, if you are able to cope with your busyness, that means you are sustained by your prayers. And if you cannot cope with your busyness, that means your prayer failed. So sometimes the busyness of ministries, you have to look at the timing of the evangelism, because opportunities for evangelism will not wait for people. So you need to grab the opportunities. You cannot say that I need to pray first quietly, I have no power to evangelize. If you do that, then many opportunities to spread the gospel will slip by. In fact, God will surely allow such things for us to experience in our life. But this is to make us realize that we have no choice but to revive and get our prayer life well. So let's take a look at some verses. We need to learn from our earlier church leaders, learn from Israel, and learn from those leaders how they live out their life. How can they live out their faith living? So we know that the Jewish people, every day they have two or three times of scheduled prayers. Jesus also always withdrew to pray in the mountains. Of course, it doesn't mean that we have to go to the mountain to pray. We have no mountains here in Singapore, but we need to go to a corner to pray. But why? Even Apostle Paul and the apostles in the book of Acts, we have been going through the book of Acts, we also see that many prayers of many areas where people prayed. So in Acts chapter 3 verse 1, so last week we've gone through this. So now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So what is meant by the ninth hour? So that is very close to evening, when they are sacrificing the evening offering. So the sun is setting. So around that time, so 3 hours before that. So to the Jews, so they divided the 12-hour daytime into 4 portions of 3 hours. So in the daytime, so they have the 3rd, the 6th, and the 9th hour. So it's in multiple of 3 hours. So at each multiple of 3 hours, they will pray. So now Apostle Peter and John, So they went to the temple to pray. But yet, when they went, it's slightly different. Is it for the purpose of prayer? Of course, that is also included. But I believe that when they pray, it's slightly different from other Jewish leaders. They are not going by the law, but they went to the temple in order to be in contact with those people who gathered at the temple so that they can preach the gospel and spread the gospel. So although they went to the temple, that means that they have not departed from the Lord's law. They are willing to draw near to the law of God, but yet they are not bound by the law of God. So when they went, they saw there is this beggar at the temple. So immediately, they preached the gospel to him. So do you see that prayers and evangelism? There is no there's no which one comes before which one. They didn't put away evangelism matter. But when they saw there's an opportunity, they immediately preached the gospel to the beggar. So how can prayers and evangelism go together? In fact, the apostles, they had a very clear heart and perspective. And they are all out for evangelism, but yet they didn't compromise on prayers. And next verse, Acts chapter 10, verse 9. So it talks about Peter and Cornelius. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. So back then, they can walk on their housetop. There's space to do that. So this is the sixth hour. So Peter did this because he really wanted to pray. So there is this prayer life. And this prayer life is for the sake of remembering every day, remembering the Lord every day, and seeing that they need healing in their sins and sicknesses, not just physically, but all kinds of issues. So you need to set apart a time to pray. Because humans are inclined toward laziness, so we need to have a consecrated time to get healing and to pray. And then verse 30, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. So some English translations mention that he's fasting and praying, not just praying. So when you fast and pray, you're very sober. You're very alert. You're not in a delusion. So Cornelius' testimony here is, I'm not in a delusion or illusion. I'm not trying to find a mystical thing, but indeed, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And this man appeared in front of me. So his point is, indeed, I'm very sober. I truly see it. As if the Lord has certain things to speak to me. And so Cornelius sent people to invite Peter over. So when Luke wrote the book of Acts, Luke mentioned that Cornelius is a God-fearing man and they always prayed to God. Although Cornelius, he's a Gentile, but he often followed the Jewish practice to pray at scheduled hours. And so he also made consecrated prayers. Let's read another verse, Acts chapter 16, verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. So perhaps back then, if you want to set up a Jewish synagogue, you need to have a certain number of people. And so in the city of Philippi, maybe they have not reached the critical number of people. So there's no Jewish synagogue. So very likely, these people, they gathered. So some people, they are willing to gather, and that became a place of prayer. And so that became the place of worship. So they are willing to listen to any teachers explaining the scriptures to them. And after hearing, they will pray together. And also amazingly, there were all women. Perhaps back then, the brothers were colder in spirit, or perhaps that place is set up for women. So if indeed it's only set up for women, then even the apostle did not care about the traditions, but for the sake of evangelism, they just went everywhere. So they went to pray, but also they didn't neglect evangelism. So both are together, evangelism and prayer. But you cannot say which one comes first. So they go hand in hand. So they met this lady called Lydia. So she has been God-fearing all along. And then so God opened her heart so that she paid attention to the words of Paul. And so she invited Paul to her house. So right here, Paul and Silas, they had a base. And so if you look at verse 16, you will see that they also returned to the place of prayer. And they met another lady. And that lady was being possessed by demons, and with that demonic power, she helped the servant girl help her masters earn great money. So we know that scheduled prayers, set apart prayers, may not necessarily be for the purpose of evangelism, but yet the matter of evangelism is always on the minds of people, and so prayers and evangelism go hand in hand. So prayers may lead to evangelism happening, but it may not be so. Because evangelism should by right already be in the hearts of God's people. So if we are at peace with God, then our prayers may lead to evangelism. I pray that you can get my point, because I keep looking here and there. Now, if you look at the order of things, prayers may come before evangelism. But many a times when we encounter people, when we see the need, when God opened ways, a lot of times we have to put down our reservations, we feel our spiritual life is not enough and we need to pray more. But when the opportunities arise, God wants to use us, and we need to proceed. If you are really inadequate, you can continue to pray after that and ask God for further help and further training. So let's look at the notes. So God wants us to be devoted to prayers and to the ministry of the word, and that is ultimately the most important. And this came from Acts chapter 6 verse 4. Back then, the numbers in the church grew, and so there are some complaints about the widows not getting enough food. So they raise up 7 deacons full of wisdom, and so that the apostles cannot neglect prayers and the ministry of the word. So here you can see that you cannot neglect the word ministry and prayers. And why was that so? So the unreached people need to know that our lives are surrendered to Christ. So there is a reason for this. So why must a person reveal his prayer life to others? Now the apostles, they deliberately mentioned that we must devote ourselves to prayers and to the ministry of the word. So many people will be thinking, oh, you are so smart. You just all you need to do is to pray and to read the Bible. The rest of the tasks, we have to execute it. So all you say is you just pray and you are concerned about God's word and you do nothing else. But why must the apostles deliberately mention this? There's a reason for this. Now, if we recall Moses in Exodus chapter 17, everyone went out to war and only Moses, he's at the mountain raising his hand. Raising hand is very tough, but the moment he lowered his hands, Israelites, they lose the battle. But when he raised his hands up again, Israelites, they won the battle. So this tells us that you cannot go against this principle because God wanted to show something. So in the four Gospels, in the book of Acts, one thing that always surfaces is when Apostle Peter wrote the epistles, he also demonstrated what he wanted to say. Do you know that I wanted to come to Rome, but pray that God can open the way for me? Why must Paul talk about his many prayers? Paul told the Philippian church that I've been praying for you. And when he wrote to the Ephesian church, he also told them, I've been praying for you. It's as if he's boasting about his prayers. But in fact, his so-called boasting is with a reason. Because he meant to tell people that it's very important to devote to prayers and the word ministry. Because people need to know that you are completely surrendered to Christ. So when you want to evangelize or preach the gospel to a non-believer, if you sometimes go to church, sometimes didn't go to church, if you give the impression to your friends and relatives that sometimes when you're weak or when there are fun things in the world, then you stop going to church. Then when you preach the gospel to them, how much will they believe your gospel and your God? So we need to show them. Because men will see and read our life. So if you really want to preach the gospel, so now they have a church leader and they have to, and the church leader have to mention that they are totally dependent on God. You have to say this. You have to boast about this. Of course, when you boast, it's not a fake one. You cannot lie. But when you reveal this, it's telling people that the Lord Jesus, He's sovereign, and we need to surrender to Him. We need to submit to Him. So we need to pray over here so that people know that prayer is not an anyhow kind of requesting God and ask and God will give it to us. Of course, God also. Of course, the Bible says that when you knock, the door will be open to you. When you ask, you'll be given. When you seek, you will find. But when Jesus taught about prayers, it's not so easy. How do you get connected with God during prayers? How do you not worry and seek God's kingdom and righteousness first? So many things concerning, there are many messages concerning prayers. And how can you offer yourself as a living sacrifice so that you entrust your requests to the Lord and you commit your tomorrow to God, because God will make all things work for the good, even if it's not, even if you feel not so good. It's not according to your desire, but the Lord will surely convince you and make you understand His sovereignty and that His sovereignty is best for you and everyone else. So if you want to pray, for example, you have a lot of friends and when they hear or when they hear you preach the gospel and they say, it is the same whether you believe in whichever God. So what can you respond to them? You say, it's different. But yet, when you're weak, you stop going to church. And sometimes you do your own stuff and then your friend will be confused. So if they say, it's all the same. So it's just to teach us to do good deeds. But you have to reveal to them that it is different. You use your life to show them that it is different. When you surrender fully to God, that kind, your life transformation will make them understand what is meant by real God, true God. And second, prayer is to make salvation happen. Because we know that only God gives the growth. So just now in the responsive reading, we read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. So it is not about the one who sow or who water. I mean, when you water and you sow, it takes a lot of efforts also. But only the God who makes the plant grow. He is the most important. So here is talking about the Holy Spirit. So if you recall 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit to regenerate people's human soul. No matter how much you sow and water, you cannot regenerate a person. But the Holy Spirit can sanctify a person and help a person understand eternal life to follow, and they are able to follow God and pursue God, and their hearts and mind can be renewed, and they can build the kingdom of God, and they can crush the kingdom of the devil. So the one who sow and water will not be able to do this. Only God can do this. It doesn't mean that what we do is useless, but it's telling us that the Holy Spirit will surely help us, and we also need the Holy Spirit to work. Otherwise, we may do certain things, but it ends up in vain. So another meaning is, if we preach the gospel or share the gospel, if we say certain things wrongly, sometimes while preaching the gospel, I also preach wrongly. Then after that, I realized I said something wrong. So I realized now I've regretted. Because you realize you have hurt people because you didn't present to them a full gospel. Then after that, they may be a bit lost. So when such thing happen, we also need God. Because the person who evangelizes, whether we are evangelizing to our friends or relatives, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to work. Although sometimes we may not preach adequately, but we pray to God so that God can make all things work for the good, so that our labor will not be in vain. Because we dare not say that what we are doing is very great, because everything we are doing all comes from His grace. And that no one in their natural state really seeks after God. So this is where we need to ponder. In the responsive reading just now we read, the Bible said, there is no one righteous, not even one, no one who seeks God. So you say, is this really true? Some people, they come to church, it's as if they are seeking for the truth. They are seekers of the truth. But the Bible clearly tells us there's no one who truly seeks God. So what are they seeking? So if you observe carefully, truthfully, no one looks for God. Because what men are always looking for are what God can give them. Otherwise, if you are slightly better, what they want to look for is only what God can give them. Maybe they have a lot of problems and they realize that only God can heal them. And some people, they are very guilty because of their sin. So they seek God so that they can be forgiven by God. But that doesn't mean they are seeking God, because they just want their sins to be forgiven, but they do not really want God. So do men truly seek God? You have to think about this. Now some churches, they are always concerned about how to evangelize, how to increase the numbers, how to be able to attract non-believers' heart first, so that they can step into the church first. So when the church gets into that direction, it is finished. Because they turn the attention to people. Even if it's to cleanse people's sin, it is also not right. Because only when a person... But because if a person only seeks God for what God, for what only God can give them, it is also not enough. So we really need prayers, accurate prayers. We need to come before God so that you seek God Himself. You really want to love the Lord Jesus. What is it that you want? Now, gospel is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. The good news is Jesus Christ Himself. He already came. And so sometimes we hear this, we are without any conviction. And that's why we need a lot of prayers. Even the most beloved Son of God, when He preached, people also didn't get moved a lot or touched a lot. So what about us? So we are not, we shouldn't first focus on asking, we shouldn't first focus on making people feel God. But we need to focus on God correctly. Because the Bible clearly tells us, no one is righteous, no one understands, no one seeks God, not even one. So we need God Himself. Why do we need prayer? We need God Himself to remove such thoughts one by one. We need God to clear whatever is clouding or blocking our eyes, whether it's plank or speck or whatever, so that men can truly see that what they need is no other things, but we need the Messiah. And Jesus Himself is the good news. What you need is not a solution. It's not a consequence. What you need is to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So the book of Acts is very spectacular. We saw a lot of miracles and wonders and signs. And when all these wonders and signs came out, people will first think that it's good to go to church because there's a lot of miracles. So it's so wonderful to see so many miracles in the church. But Acts, also we see another event. So within the church, Ananias and Sapphira, something happened to them because they deceived the Holy Spirit, and suddenly another miracle happened. Apostle Peter said one word and they fell to the ground. Another person stepped in and then Peter said another word and then the next person also fell dead. And so everyone got so scared and they said, why should we go to church? Because you go to church, all these miracles may make a person dead. So miracles may not draw people to the church. It may even turn people away from the church. Because what's most important about the church is not that people see miracles and get certain things, but the church must manifest the holiness and glory of God so that people can see that Jesus is our everything, He's above everything, and we need to surrender to Him. And so from then on, the whole church, from the event of Ananias and Sapphira, the whole church got vigilant and they exhort the words of the apostles. And so that's how the word ministry is being expanded and developed. And next, prayer is to be fully aware of God's presence when preaching and evangelizing. So we need God's power. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says that, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. So, by His appearing, He who is judging the living and the dead, so by His presence also, by His appearing also, and when will He appear? He already appeared once, and He will appear again, and then His kingdom will come again. And so preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So, when we evangelize, we also need to do a lot of teaching, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting etc. So evangelism involves all these things. So here it talks about God's judgment. It can stir people's heart and can cut people to the heart and make people aware of their sins so that people can know that they need the Savior. So God's concern is not elsewhere, but on Himself. It's not just on His people. It's not just on unreached people, but on His own kingdom, on His own appearing, on His coming again. So when we evangelize, those of us who pray, we know that evangelism is so important. Because you know that if I do not preach the gospel, what happens to my friends and relatives? Their life and death. Then will sin be upon me. So a lot of times when you pray, you think about all these things like eternal kingdom. And you know that Jesus is coming again. So we have limited time. And fifth point, our lives are to have quiet set apart time for prayer so that we can have illumination of the Holy Spirit. So at the in the verses in the beginning, we read about setting time apart for prayers. Now, if we want to do this, it's not easy. Why? To read the Bible, to pray, to set aside time, it's not easy. Because the moment you want to do this, it will disrupt your whole day's timetable because you have to set time to do this. So it's not easy. And we are all busy. And when we are busy, we will think, can we multitask to do this and do that at the same time? You know, take the handphone to use our phone and talk to people or to face God. So we are in this kind of multitasking culture. So when we want to set aside time, we'll be thinking, in this generation, do we still need quiet time? But when we look back to the Bible, we realize that across generations, churches and the Israelites, this is the reminder that they have given us. So many a times, we need rest in our life. We cannot be too busy. But also, if you cannot be busy with God's work, that also means you need to work harder in prayers. Some people, they don't want to do this because they don't want to be too spiritual. Because they feel family members, if they see me read the Bible, it's like, I am too holy. So they just want to be a person full of grace. So in the first point, I said, why must we show it out? Because you have to tell people, tell your families and relatives and friends, because they need to see it. If they didn't see this, and they didn't experience that your life are totally committed to Christ, without seeing this, how can they know the gospel? They will also find it very hard to believe how real and special is the Christian faith. So, Jesus Himself also went up to the mountain to pray. And so, true believers, we do not like a lot of messy things in our minds and we like to be quiet. Those of us who preach the gospel or sermon or cell group, maybe we are slightly better in this area because when we are to prepare our message, we need to be quiet before God. We need to be very serious about doing this. And so we need to pray often. So if you go to the small group, a lot of times if you only listen to the sermon, then it's pointless. So if you want to participate in the cell group, you may need to prepare your sharing, even prepare yourself to receive certain hurts, because where humans are, there's bound to be certain hurts. So you need to be quiet and prepare your heart to go to church. So church also, where there are brethren, you need to prepare your heart. So you need to be intimate with God. So Apostle Paul also, before he died, he wrote to his readers to bring his to bring the scrolls over, because he always had to read. So we'll all be busy. Will we get less and less busy in Singapore? No. We'll get busier and busier. Many long time ago, when I was working, it's very busy. I need to do one percent. I need to do many things. But I thought it's the problem of the last generation. But nowadays, I look at people, I realize everyone is busier. So after I become full-time, I also realize I need to work hard. So we need to get busy to focus on God's word and evangelism. So prayer is important. So prayer is our set-apart time in order to get the illumination of the Holy Spirit. So when you pray, you yourself wanted to hear God and see God. A lot of times it is for your own sake. You understand the word of God. You want to imitate Christ. So we must not just think that prayer is your personal training. Because prayer is also a time where God speaks to you. Because if you read a passage, a scripture, or you hear a sermon, and if you didn't listen with a prayerful heart and asking the Holy Spirit to help you, it's different when you listen with prayer and without prayer. Because when the Holy Spirit helps you, you get illumination. So those of us who preach the word, and those of us who read the scriptures, and those of us who are reformed, we must be very careful. So because when we preach the gospel, when we read the word of God, we must be very strict and careful, because God's word itself has the illumination of the Holy Spirit. You may read it on your own and it's very tasteless to you, but when you depend on the Holy Spirit to read and understand God's meaning and doctrine, you receive another form of illumination. So I give you one example. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 to 12. So this is the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and as we also have forgiven our debtors. Once I interpreted these verses wrongly to a person. So I say the daily bread is not our physical bread in the mouth only. It also includes our spiritual food and spiritual bread. It should also include all this. So I realized when I said this, it deprived God's word of his power. So forgiveness of sin versus earthly food, which one's more important? Is the soul more important or the body more important? Of course, the soul is more important. So the forgiveness of sin is more important. But why is it that when Jesus teach us how to pray, he put the daily bread in front of the forgiveness of sins? Have you ever thought about this? We pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we have this relationship with this God. But if your needs are not catered for, your life will get harden a bit, and you cannot understand. Although in your head you know, but in your heart you cannot taste how he's loving you, how he's concerned about my everything. So Jesus wants people to understand that every day's needs, just like in the wilderness after Exodus, in that 40 years, the manna, whether you take too much or too little is pointless. But for the 40 years, every day, exactly how much you need, God will supply it to you. And this is the earthly need, your physical need. what you need in your heart, maybe your emotional needs, God will supply it to you. In order for you to produce thanksgiving, in order that you can be at peace with God, be reconciled to God. And then after that, you ask God to forgive your sins. Is it different? So when we read the Bible, so I use this as an example. So sometimes we are too fast when we read a sermon without praying. Sometimes when we hear a sermon, we didn't pray about it. Sometimes we didn't go through prayer to understand God's word. We are too fast. But God, slowly, gradually, and so only in prayers, then you can slow down, then you can understand that God wants us to restore our relationship with Him first. So the greatest blessing is our relationship with God. And then the second blessing is the blessing of evangelism. And then the third blessing is the blessing of earthly needs. So if God didn't help us comprehend, how can we understand? So God's meaning and God's heart is that we totally can understand Him so that we can be uplifted. So without prayers, without the illumination of the Holy Spirit, even if we have heard many sermons, we thought we may know it, but many a things and many illumination comes from looking at God's word comprehensively and correctly. So second, God ordains secondary means even our prayers to accomplish His will. So this just tells us that God has His will, but He's willing for certain means to accomplish everything. So our prayers, how can our prayers fulfill God's perfect will? Can our prayers change God's plan? Of course, we cannot change God's plan, but can God use our prayer? God can use our prayers. God wants us to participate in His glory. God can choose not to use us, but God is willing to use us. And if we do not pray, maybe God will not fulfill that matter, because God precisely wants to use your prayer to accomplish that matter. Let's look at a few scriptures. Even when Jesus wanted to accomplish God's will on the cross, the Bible tells us that this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. So it is God's plan that Jesus was crucified. But this is not His original will, but it's His secondary will to fulfill His perfect will. So God encourages us to pray. So just now we read that the prayer of a righteous man is effective. So who is the most righteous man? And that is Jesus Christ. And will His prayer not be fulfilled? Of course, He will be fulfilled. So prayer answers is not you get what you want, but it's according to God's will. As you understand God more, then whatever you ask, God will listen to every one of them. But here it also tells us that we pray, do not neglect or despise the work of the Holy Spirit. When we focus more on the Word of God, at the same time, through the truth, we need to comprehend the work of the Holy Spirit. If we focus on the Word of God, in fact, the Holy Spirit will work all the more. So do not think that if you talk about the truth, then there will be no Holy Spirit. In fact, due to the right truth being preached, the work of the Holy Spirit should all the more be manifested. So we must be very careful, because this is not natural. Because some people who focus on the truth, they lost the Holy Spirit. And that is also true. But God promised us that His word will be as sweet as honey, and it will give us a lot of illumination. So why is it that in terms of evangelism, we need to pray? Because just now we mentioned, Holy Spirit will give us strength and equip us so that when we lack courage to evangelize, Holy Spirit will give us courage. Next, we pray for the preaching of the Word of God and the power of Holy Spirit to confirm. Now, we read another scripture, Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So, two things here. Of course, the most important thing is God's word, because God's word, if the word is being preached in a relevant way, targeted at the needs of the recipient of the gospel, then no one can reject this. Maybe they will be offended by the gospel, but not by you, but by the word of God, so that they are convicted of their sin and they realize they need God. But what's the second thing? So while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So we know that signs and wonders is so that is to affirm that the word the God, the apostle preached is right. So those are special signs and wonders for the sake of the word. So what is important here is, why must they pray? So what happens before this? Last week, Pastor talked about it, that there's this beggar. He was lame, but he could walk. And because of this, the apostles were arrested and persecuted. But because of their courage, later on, the authorities also released the apostles. So the apostles preached the word and God confirmed His word. So when they evangelized, so we, for us, we also need to evangelize and preach the gospel of Christ. So you may preach a lot of gospel. I mean, you may preach the gospel many times to your contacts, but what they need is they need to realize the realness of God. So ultimately, they, even if they understood many things, but at least they need to have a sense. They may not need miracles or outward evidences, but they need to have a sense and to experience God. So we need to pray for that. For example, we pray, we say, Jesus loves you. And then he had nightmares, and then he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus helped him out of the nightmare. And then maybe he thinks this is coincidence, and then maybe he went through the nightmare a second time, and then he cried out to Jesus, and then he experienced Jesus again. So my point is, all kinds of ways, but they need a certain kind of experience. So we pray so that they can experience the gospel we preach. But this is not what humans can do. Because if you can do it, then you slowly will realize you don't need God. But the gospel, the gospel is the power of God. Even if there is fruit of the evangelism, it doesn't come from your own credit or efforts, because the credit belongs to God. So while evangelizing, we really need God's co-working and God's anointing. So why did they pray in this way? So the most important thing is the conviction of the Word of God. So we need to pray that God use all kinds of methods to let people experience Him. So we pray for people, those who are sick, and so that they can believe and experience God. They can depend on God. So even their sickness is not healed, they can also rely on God. I mean, the Lord has His sovereignty to heal illness, but He will still continue to follow God. Now, finally, I have given you some prayer topics for evangelism. So we can take reference from this. So first is to give people the right perception of God. So people may have certain misunderstanding toward God. So we totally entrust ourselves to God so that we know our life is different from others. We follow the Lord and He is the only God and He is worthy of us giving Him our everything. So when you give your everything, but if you do it unwillingly, unhappily, then it's also, it cannot do. But if you commit your life wholeheartedly to God and you are very happy about it, you give people the impression that because people have sin, and as a result of sin, they had certain misunderstanding toward God. Maybe God is holy, but they will think that God is so holy, how can we be in contact with Him? But through our life, we can clear some of their misconception. And second, no, we need to know that the cross is not weak, but it's a representation of God's love. It's not that God cannot save Himself, but He's willing to do that. It is out of His love and in His sinlessness, that yet He went to the cross to redeem man's sin. So Jesus Christ is willing, but yet He's powerful. So His weakness is because He loved us. So God is both powerful and of love in strength and in weakness. And the uniqueness of Jesus. So sometimes when we evangelize, they say Taoism, Buddhism also will do, everything also can. So then they cannot understand that Jesus is the only truth and life. And the fourth, people may think that they knew Jesus. Because people always think that they have known Jesus, but Jesus always proved to them that you thought you know me, but you don't know me. So Jesus always gives people surprises. And finally, the gospel is none other than simply giving you healing or happiness or benefits. But the gospel is to bring salvation to you from your sin. Salvation from sin. So simply put is this. So some people may ask, do we really need salvation from sin? So we need to help them understand the contents of the Bible, the contents of the gospel. So we also pray that the hearers of the gospel, they can accurately and rightly know the gospel. So let's pray together. Lord, we pray that every one of us can know your word, and may God, you work in our hearts so that toward evangelism, toward prayers, Lord, you give us illumination so that we understand and our heart can develop a desire to seek you. Lord, please help us. Lord, please enter our hearts. May the Holy Spirit shine on us so that through your word we'll be touched and we are willing to use our life and mouth to spread this gospel. And Lord, we also want to pray that our church can also be like the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit will work through our church to preach the gospel. Lord, we pray and give thanks in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.